Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Three Wise Men. Gentlemen, did you throw your breadcrumbs down? Because I need you to follow me down the tournament trail. How good is that?
You worked all week on that.
You ran it by Julie.
Yeah. She said that was good.
I'm Danny Holbrook, joined by Miles Holiday, Nate Garlock. They laugh at me. They like me.
Can he be Hansel and I be Gretel?
Exactly, Hansel and Gretel. Right. Exactly, yes.
This
yes.
chair's too hard.
Yeah, that's so different fairy nursery rhyme.
I'm mixing
yeah.
them all up.
Yeah, go ahead and say it.
I'm very glad to be here.
Usually you're on the other side, but now you're joining forces with the Miles.
Well, we ought to get out of the way so you could have the camera.
This is a huge show. A huge show.
Tournament
trail. Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, let's do it. Let's start out with the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week. We're going to start with Nate because he's going to steal all Miles' stuff.
All right. Yes, he will. No. So I got a couple of different things here. It was a really good week, honestly. You know, tournament started. There's a lot going on. I'm kind of going away from the boys' tournament, though, with my stuff, all right? So just follow me here.
Yeah.
The first thing I want to do is I want to give a shout-out to Fort Loramie.
Oh!
Fort Loramie girls basketball. Yeah. The first team in Ohio history
with
1,000 victories.
That's insanity.
It is.
I mean, insane. What they have done down there, what they've been able to accomplish, just the consistency of that program. I mean, you just can't say enough about it. So congratulations to them. A phenomenal milestone for them. So one, give them a shout out. I also wanted to, speaking with girls basketball, Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, I went over to Columbus Grove and I watched the Lima Senior Elida Girls Basketball District Final. We had it for WOSN. That is one of the best basketball games I have ever. That was an entertaining game from start to finish. They had so much back and forth game that it was close. Nobody ever ran away with it. It ended up being a 60-57 victory for the Elida Bulldogs. First time that they have won a district title in years. And I mean years. It has been a long time since they've had that success. Lily Seifert had 30 points, had a monster game. And then for Lima Senior, girls were playing out of their mind. Kalia had 26 points of her own. It was this back and forth battle. The gym was electric. It was filled on both sides. It was one of the best games I have been to all season long. It was such a fun environment, and it was one of those ones where you knew somebody had to lose, but it was a shame that somebody lost. That was a game that I wish it would have gone to overtime. I wish it would have just kept going. It was a fun one to be around.
But you got your Spartan apparel on today, so you're repping.
Yeah. And I had it on there as well. You know, my wife teaches at Elida, so she had her Elida stuff on. We had our foot in both camps, you know. So it was and then finally, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, and this isn't basketball related or not, but it was one of the coolest things that I think I may have ever seen. And Johnny Gaudreau's Jr.
That was so cool.
Came to a Columbus Blue Jackets hockey game. Obviously, if you're not a hockey fan, I still think everybody knows, unfortunately, what happened with his dad, the great Johnny Hockey. He lost his life from a drunk driver before the season started. But his son, he was at the game. It was his birthday, and the entire arena sang him happy birthday. It was just a great moment. It's a great thing to watch and to see, and to see his memory and all the things that have gone on this year. I mean, it just shows you how much he meant to Columbus and to Blue Jacket hockey, and to see that the fans obviously aren't going to forget him, and his family is still very much a part of that organization. It was just a special thing to watch.
Not a dry eye in nationwide.
No, not at all. Yeah. No, it was awesome.
Almost not a dry eye here.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right, Miles, he didn't take any of yours. He was so good. I think he's evolving. I think Nate is evolving.
Nope, he sure isn't. I just already had these written down. So.
All right, so stay with me. I have a bunch here, okay?
Oh, really?
I know.
Yeah, this is weird.
Number one, the Z-Man, Zach Zimmerman, with the big three ball to send in overtime.
Incredible shot.
For Ada. He didn't even have his eyes on the rim. He had to catch it and then at the last second get his eyes on the rim. That was a big-time shot.
I thought, Miles, he looked like he was behind the basket almost.
Yeah, almost on that wrong angle.
Yes.
But it's an incredible shot. Yeah. Unfortunately, Ada did not win in overtime, but boy, it was a great game. Coach Sauter, Ada, wow, what a great job he did. That box and one, the stymie.
Yeah, incredible.
Jordan Pretty was amazing. Ada, they're going to be just fine next year. They're going to be really good, folks. And then in that same game, Jordan Pretty for LCC. he was really stymied with that box and one that Ada put on him. I mean, that's going to bother anyone, right? But he has that will. I mean, Danny, what'd he do? He went in, he got offensive rebounds, he got putbacks. The game was decided by his steal at midcourt and then the coast-to-coast layup after that.
He's top five player in the area.
He is a tough dude. People watch him, they say, oh, he's a good scorer. No, he's a tough dude, man.
He's a good basketball player.
And then Pauly Karras, our new friend over at Shawnee, he shadowed Nick on Friday. And was at the game, and he took care of some work for Danny, did some stat stuff. And, like, boy, that's a kid that loves basketball, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Just
sports in general. Yeah. He is a sports junkie.
Fired up, man. Yeah. I enjoyed having Paulie around. And then my last one, Josiah Schlatter at Defiance. Now, you guys probably haven't seen him, but he's a sophomore for Defiance, averages about 14 points a game, but he's a big moment guy. He loves big moments. I interviewed him after the game, and they got the win over Salina, and he was 6-for-6 at the free throw line at the end of the game. And I asked him, I said, did you want the basketball? Yes, I want to shoot the free throws. I'm like, man, this kid gets it. I love this kid. Keep an eye on him because he was laser focused. And he's that guy that wants those big moments. Defiance, they're going to be fun to watch moving forward.
That's good stuff, guys. For me, it was Columbus Grove girls basketball Saturday afternoon. Kelsey Beimer and I were on the call. I wish every young athlete could watch Lauren Ockmoody in what she did. She had 0 points at halftime, and she was affecting that game like I've never seen. Rebounding, hustle, leading the transition. Her passing was incredible. I talked to her coach today on the radio, and he said the same thing. He said she was spectacular. And the entire team, the whole game plan was to push the ball down to the paint, and exactly they did that. They were fantastic. They're going to be a tough out. Now, they got a big game against Margaretta this week, but that's going to be a great game. But they were just fantastic. Coach Brian Schrader, his game plan was great. You know, Crestview pretty much owned them the last 4 or 5 years in the postseason, beat them in the regional finals last year. So this was a big win for the Columbus Grove girls team. I feel like they're going to make that run to Dayton this year. So
I'm rooting for them and Patrick Henry to get that final in the regional.
Yes.
That'd be an unbelievable
matchup. Yes. The next thing I want to do, I want to give a shout out to one of our employees here at WSN. Kelsey and I did that game Saturday. Kelsey Beimer and I did that game Saturday. And I don't know, you guys do games at Van Wert. Great facility, beautiful gym, but you're up high.
You're real high.
And it's really hard to see the scoreboard at times sometimes. You know, Van Wert does a great job. I'm not saying anything bad about him. So what's Jacob do? He takes his phone, puts up a scoreboard on his phone.
Jacob O'Neill.
Yes, Jacob O'Neill. While he's doing his camera work, he's hitting every bucket. So Kelsey and I have a straight shot at the scoreboard. It was just teamwork, man. It was just, and Kelsey and I talked about, we were kind of off that day just for certain things here and there. But he made it so much easier for us, man. That kid, hardest working guy. And I say it, I tell Nick all the time, he's the best cameraman. He'll do anything for you. He's fun. He's personable. He's never in a bad mood. That guy is, in my book, he is A+, man.
Yeah. I remember Kelsey, I saw her and she said, holy crap, Jacob did an incredible job.
She did. And she looked at me, she's, holy crap, Danny, you're doing good tonight.
Are you kidding me? That's what she said.
Are you kidding me? Yes.
Wow.
Holy crap. Wow. That's amazing. It's interview time, fellas. And we've got one for the ages here. Bath head coach Dre White. Super excited to have you here, coach. Congratulations on an outstanding season.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, let's get right into it. What a transformation you guys have made at Bath. And I know, I'm sure, you know, you've heard it all year long, but my goodness, the difference a year makes.
Thank you.
Your kids are outstanding. Yeah. And I'm just going to say this. What a coaching staff you've got out there.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the season right now up to this point. We'll get to the big game later, but let's talk about that.
No, I think you hit the two big things, outstanding kids and, you know, really fortunate to have the help that I was able to get this year. You knew what, you know, the tasks that we had in front of us, and that was something very important to me, you know, when I was considering it and throughout the interview process. I was pretty transparent, and I wanted some guys that not only I knew and trust, which obviously goes a long way, but you know, had been through similar situations and rebuilds and knew what we were going to get into and had that experience behind them, because I think it goes a long way. So, you know, having that staff and Gabe that was just, you know, head coach four-ish years over there at Allen East, and, you know, that's invaluable, having, you know, a guy that can bring that to your bench. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's also somebody that I had knew and had relationships outside of. You know, we had competed against each other for several years and had great games over, you know, at Allen Ace and Upper Side of Valley. And but he also in the summer and the spring, we do a lot of AAU things together. So there's that bond already. And so, you know, that transition, I feel like for us was a little bit seamless. You know, and John, I think we all know how long he's been around the game.
Right.
And he'll admit it. I don't have to say it, but probably longer than I've been alive, as far as you know his passion and how long he's been involved with basketball. But also somebody I've known for quite some time. You know, and our relationship I think was unique in that when I was playing, he was recruiting me out of high school. He was at Bluffton University at that time, and he's bounced between Bluffton and Ohio Northern with the men and the women's program. But since that, I think that's our initial, you know, one of our initial interactions. But we've maintained contact ever since. And I had the, you know, the opportunity to coach his son over at Ada. And then his son was also on staff with me at Upper Soda Valley. And was a part of that experience for 3 years, and now he's on staff with me at Bath as well. So, you know, that staff coming together has been awesome. And I've also got, you know, a guy and Scott Miller's with some of our younger guys, and he's been at the Allen East program and leading some of their JV teams for a long time. And so I got a lot of experience and some of our veterans in there. But also, I think, you know, it can't be understated. I got two very young ones as well, and Micah Cook, John's son, and then Drew Stevens, both former players of mine, and that goes such a long way.
Oh, sure.
Are they new to coaching? Yes. Are they still figuring things out? Yes, as we all are. But with those guys being involved in our system and in the program and understanding expectations, there's things that happen. I don't even have to say anything, and they are already a step ahead of it in helping some of our younger kids. And they have a different relationship with our kids. They're young, and they're goofy with each other, and that's great. You know, and those kids really latch on to Micah and Drew. And just, you know, it's really special. For me, you know, we preach brotherhood and what we want our program to stand for. And I think those, you know, all of our entire staff, but those two especially embody, you know, we want our experience to go beyond the 4 years that they're within the program. So that's been huge as far as a staff and the benefits for our kids.
Well, let's go to that first day. Okay. How do you start building expectations? How do you still start building trust with the team? Right. And what were some things that surprised you about the kids at Bath?
Yeah, I think, you know, from day one, I knew the couple of kids already, which helps from summer travel basketball, things like that. So there's a relationship there, and I think that helps a little bit. But also, you know, even though I wasn't directly involved with the program, I was involved with, I lived in the district. I was an alum. Mm. And, you know, as an alum, I think you're always a fan from afar.
Absolutely.
So I was still following Bath basketball. So I feel like I was in tune a little bit, and I think that helped me initially. You know, not being directly involved in some of the experiences and things that were going on, but being able to relate to it a little bit. So I think that helped. Being an alumni helped, you know, having a similar high school experience, really. You know, I don't like to bring me and my playing days and experiences into it directly with the kids, but I think those messages and your experiences you can share with them. You know, I had a similar high school experience. I know my senior year was the first year I think we hit the 500 mark in a long, long time, and we were working on a rebuild situation. But as far as, you know, as far as the kids, and I think our staff, all of them would say that we noticed right away how coachable they were. And I think that's all you can ask, really. You know, when we're throwing all new things at them and we want them to buy in, you know, they really latched onto those sorts of things and the things that we were telling them. I think they were hungry to, we talked a lot about that and the identity of what Bath Boys basketball was and wanting to go a different direction with them and really outlining our pillars, our foundation to our program and building on those, you know, and preaching that brotherhood and investing and buying into one another and committing to that process. And, I think that goes a long way with it. And, you know, we knew we had a challenge ahead of us because, you know, when we got the job, you get the schedule, and the first thing we saw on our schedule at the tip-off classic was Shawnee, and
right.
Everyone in this area knew how good Shawnee was going to be. And really, every year you have to be ready to go at the tip-off because you're going to see three really good programs no matter what kind of year they're having. And we did. We saw that. And, you know, we went over to the tip-off, and we went 0-2 that weekend. And that can be a challenge because you're fighting the here-we-go-again mentality.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, that was a challenge. And, you know, they came right back, and I think our first game after that was Ottaville or Van Wert and Ottaville we came back with, and both road games, that was another challenge for us. You know, the tip off, then we open up with two road games against two quality programs.
Now, I had that first game against Shawnee, and the thing that I mentioned to Danny and Nate after that week was that you coached. I mean, the game was decided, but you coached like it was a one-point game all the way to the end right there. And I thought that was, I said to these guys, I said, they're going to be fine because he's establishing that you guys are going to play hard no matter what.
Yeah.
Did you realize you were doing that, or is just the way you are?
Oh, yeah, definitely intentional. I thought our kids played hard throughout as well, and that's the message that we wanted to relay to them. You know, we want them to play hard. We're going to coach hard throughout as well. And the basketball season is a long journey. It's 22 games, and, you know, at times I feel like it's, you know, play, prep, play, and but it's a process, and that's something that we preach to our kids. You know, the process over the prize is how we term it quite frequently, and you know, the process for us at that moment, no matter what the scoreboard was getting better. And you know, I tell our kids all the time, you know, in some sense, you know, there's times I don't care what the scoreboard says. You know, we could be up 20. You know, if we're not playing to our standard or expectations, I'm still going to get on you.
Right.
But and then the same thing if we're down 20, you know. So and we want that to translate to the kids as well. And, you know, as much as we're trying to teach physical toughness and things like that, I think mental toughness comes in along or a big part of that as well.
You know, coming into this year, I most people probably didn't think that there was going to be a lot that comes out of Bath as far as the records and how the team was. I've said, and we've talked before, you know, and we've talked on air or done things, it seems like you guys are ahead of schedule. And, you know, I don't know, is that something that you think as well coming in? I mean, obviously you got some really good players. I mean, obviously, you know, Jackson Foster, Logan Markley, you got a lot of really good guys on there. But are you a little surprised on how quickly these guys have been able to grasp what you've brought into there and how well this has really translated in year one, considering – you know, winning isn't something that they've been used to doing. I think people overlook how hard it is sometimes to get kids into a mentality of to win and not to lose.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I think, you know, we really don't talk a whole lot about where we are with wins and losses. We really don't. We try to focus on, again, the process and coming in every day and focusing on those values and being about each other and letting the results take care of themselves. So, you know, yes and no. The turnaround with the wins has been nice, yes. And I think with that, you know, you get one or two and the kids get a little belief and they get a little belief and there's a little bit of confidence and then, you know, it's a whole new ball game. But, you know, on the other side of that, I think, and I said this early on about our group, is, you know, coming in this year, I don't think I ever had a team, you know, early on the first couple weeks that I felt like had more potential than the group that we had in front of us, just raw potential of what we could have been. And we didn't know what that was going to end up being, whether that was, you know, 2 wins, 12 wins. We had no idea. But I felt like there was a ton of potential with that group, A, because, like we mentioned, they were coachable. Our staff doing a tremendous job in getting those values in place. And like you said, we've been really fortunate this year to have two really nice players in Jackson and Logan have bought in and been great leaders. And that's translated to the younger kids as well. But on the other side of that, you know, I feel like we still got a long way to go. And I think that's the exciting part. And that's why we're, you know, we love this passion of coaching, I guess. But, you know, I feel like, the same, you know, you're always going to look back at the games that don't go your way and say, we could have got that one, we could have got that one, or what could we have done different, or we would have made that play. But I feel like there's a lot of that with us. And, you know, we're excited for some of the kids, you know, we have coming back as well. You know, we got four seniors that are going to be difficult to replace, but we're really excited about the young kids as well.
Yeah, so along those lines, obviously, you know, as a coach coming in, you look at the schedule, look at practice, and it's, all right, you know, this can look good at times, it cannot look good, we're not sure how. Is there one game, though, where after that game, because I, in my mind, I have one for you guys, but I'm curious to see if it's kind of the same one for you, where after the game, after the win, or maybe it was a loss for you or whatever, but you're like, okay, we're going to be okay. This thing is working. We're going in the direction
you're
I want them to.
You're going to feel good about yourself if he says the team.
It's going to be real good.
Well, the one that sticks out to me was the first one. I felt like that was the big one for us. You know, just getting that first one, getting a little bit of confidence in the kids, saying we can do this. You know, this process is working. But they all run together, honestly, at times. They do, in full transparency. Which one was it for you?
For me, it was Ottoville.
Okay, yeah. Which was the second one.
So after the when you got the Ottoville win, I think a lot of people looked at that initially and were like, that's a huge upset. No one saw this one coming. Bath beat Ottoville. Wow. You know, because obviously that Ottoville program is, you know, has a history of success, especially with Coach Hoot. And it was like, wow, that's a big one. Yeah. Now, is this real or is this an off night? And then it just kind of seemed to continue building where I think of that, starting with that game and that win, a lot of people started to believe in Bath basketball.
Yeah. No, I think that was the second one. So we weren't far off the first one and the second one, but those two, I think, did go a long way. And again, with the young kids, you want to get them a little bit of confidence and a little bit of belief. And I think that translates, looking back at it now, we knew that was going to be, a difficult game for us on the road. And, you know, Ottoville ended up having, as they always do, a heck of a year. So looking back on that one, you know, for our resume and, you know, looking back, that's definitely a big one for us.
Coach, you're a relationship guy with your players, and you like to build programs. So kind of a tough question. You were at Ada, did a great job at Ada. The good folks at USB probably didn't like you when you were at Ada.
Right. And then vice versa. I got that a lot.
Yeah, when you left Ada, the good folks at Ada didn't like you because you went to Upper Side of High. It's a huge rivalry, guys. Trust me, it's a huge rivalry.
Yeah.
How tough was that to leave those two programs? Just and not Very. Look, you want to go to where you're comfortable and you want to get bigger and better, and you're doing a great job. And I don't mean nothing by it, but it's tough. I've coached for a lot of years. It's tough to leave those programs, isn't it?
It is. Well, back to that point, I remember accepting the job at Upper Soda Valley and getting calls from my Ada players. because of that, right? In all good fun, but for most of those calls were all good fun. But but some of my former players definitely got a kick out of that one. But it was tough, and I love all of our guys that we have the opportunity to play with, and you know, any of those transitioning. Coaching jobs, it's a challenge. There's a lot that goes into it, and getting your foundation reestablished and those sorts of things. I think what helps you through that, I still talk to many of the guys from Ada, still talk to many of the guys from Upper Soda Valley, having one of those guys, again, one former player from Ada on staff now and one from Upper Soda Valley. And again, I think that brotherhood past those 4 years, carries over, but it is difficult, at both stops, I've had the opportunity to coach some pretty special kids, whether it was, on the floor success or off the floor, whether it's basketball or other things. And, wanting to stay involved with that, it's a challenge. But, and I remember having the conversation with both groups, honestly. The conversation with my Ada players and the conversation with the Upper Soda Valley players. And I remember those, and I think I will for a long time. But, I think when you look back at those, and there's a lot of emotions both ways, and I think that's where you realize something was clicking there.
I talked to a guy from Upper Side Valley yesterday, and I told him that you're going to be on the show today, and he said, "Tell that guy I love that guy." He said he meant so much to my family. Wow. How many times do you hear that? Coaches when
you're
they're
the other way.
I know, right? And he was genuine about it. Yeah. He was genuine about it. So.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right into it, guys. Let's talk about the game that's coming up, Bath and Elida. They got some pretty good players, Coach. Zori and Amari and Parker.
Yeah.
How do you contain
them? Yeah. Round three.
How do you contain those guys?
Hopefully third time's a charm for us. But, easier said than done, right? I mean, as you know, good guards in high school basketball go a long way, and they got two of the best in our area, and Amari and Zori. And I think what separates them is, if you want to call them other guys, those are some really good other guys as well. Those role players and Eben Jackson and Parker Krim, as a coach, I love the role players. Like Eben Jackson and Parker do so much for their team that
Marcus
doesn't.
Hill.
And Marcus, I was getting to Marcus. I know Marcus because Marcus was at Perry. So we competed against each other my time at Upper Soda Valley as well. But all of those guys, and Alton Bach comes off the are on the floor, and he does his job extremely well of you know, providing some outside shooting for them. But, you know, guys like Eben and Parker, you know, watching them, what they do, and they don't get a lot of the credit, you know, they don't get a lot of the stat sheets and the things like that. But, you know, to come in and still be able to do what they do well, despite not getting a lot of the credit, and making some of those other guys, Amari and Zori, so much better, I think is what makes them a special team and a difficult team to beat. And, you know, guys like Marcus as well, Marcus right. Hill, you know, I think, you know, probably the third scorer on this team. But, you know, if Amari and Zori have an off night, he's more than comfortable stepping into that scoring role.
He did.
He's done that when he was at Perry. I've seen that many times over at Upper Soda Valley as well. Yeah. So he's very comfortable in stepping in. And I think, you know, it speaks a lot to a guy like Marcus as well that was that primary leading scorer for his team last year, and, you know, now playing with alongside guys like Amari and Zori, I think that's what makes that group special. But those three guards, along with, you know, all of their guys that have accepted roles, make them a challenge.
Would you be for, instead of actually playing a game, we just have an arm wrestling competition between you and Parker Krim?
No, we can't have that. We can't have that.
You know, save everybody a lot of time.
I'm usually like, let's do it. But
this one was a really good show.
It was going along so smooth.
I'll give that one to Parker.
But all seriousness, though, he is just an absolute monster on the boards, right?
Yeah.
When you guys talk about the game plan, he did a great job rebounding against you in game one and game two. Game three, how do you handle that?
Well, you know, we're going to do our best, and it's got to be a group effort.
Yeah.
We can't have one guy trying to box out Parker Krim. I just heard a stat the other night. I believe he had somewhere around 118 offensive rebounds
in the
22-23 games that they played.
It's crazy.
And I had to stop and think about, I'm doing the math. It isn't just a one man job to get that done. We got to box out collectively and limit them to one shot of possession, because like we've talked about, they got some dynamic scores. When you give them additional opportunities to score, they can be very hard to beat. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. I think our guys know them so well already before the other two games. You know, it's the rivalry game. They've played each other. You know, there's a lot of juniors and seniors playing in that game. We know what we have to do differently, and we know what we've done well and not so well. We know what we have to do different, and it's just a matter of, you know, can we get it done? And I think, you know, we can't turn the ball over. I think both times we play them, we've scored in the 30s. We got to get out of that, and hopefully play with a little bit more confidence. And, you know, the first couple games, we've had a lot of good looks at the basket that didn't go. And if you don't have great offensive possessions and the ball doesn't go in on the offensive end for you, it's trouble, because, as we all know, Elida's going the other way 100 miles an hour. We had so many of those possessions and especially the second game, where we had a layup at the rim, it doesn't go. Amari's blown it back down and won the other way, and that's a 5-point swing. And we have to, you know, eliminate those and just finish them, and I think we'll be okay.
How do you navigate and get your guys ready just mentally for a game against, obviously it's a big game, and we know it's a rivalry, but, you know, you've already played them twice this year. It's the third time. They know they haven't beaten them yet. Yeah. Then on top of all that, now it's a tournament game, and you guys already got the one postseason game. You know, you got seniors who, you know that their careers are coming down. They don't want this to be the last game. There's a lot going on, and at the end of the day, they're just kids. How do you work with this mentally to get them in the right place for the game?
I think all of that, though. I mean, you know, as we told them, you know, you get the third rematch, I guess, against your rival in a district semi game. You know, what more could you want? And the second game especially, we had a lot of really good moments. I think that was a two point game going in the fourth quarter. So we know we can do it. And you know, again, as an alum, I don't know who you'd rather play than your rival for, you know, a chance to, you know, continue your career in the district tournament. So,
Coach, I have some rapid fire questions, if you don't mind.
Sure, let's go.
Be as quick as possible here with them. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
You guys make me nervous now.
I'll be back in a moment. It's fine.
About 20 weeks now, Coach.
25, actually.
Yeah, 25 weeks.
Coach, if your coaching staff had a one-on-one tournament, who wins it?
Oh, that's me.
I like it.
Stevens would argue with you.
All right. Do you prefer baths or showers?
Showers. Showers.
What are we doing? What is this show?
Who has the best sneaker game on your staff?
I'll give, as much as I don't want to, I'll give this one to Micah Cook.
Oh, okay. I like that one. All right. Funniest player on the team.
We got a freshman, Jacob Segerson.
Is he? What's he do that's so funny?
Everything. There's never a dull moment with him.
He has an impression of
yeah.
it. Columbia Blue or Powder Blue?
Columbia Blue.
Columbia Blue. Okay. And best post-game meal. Where do you go? What do you do?
Post-game?
Yeah.
Beer Barrel.
Oh, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Great answers. I love the bath, not showers.
I didn't get it. I just thought you were asking another ridiculous.
Coaches, no,
I get it now. Yeah.
Coach, you know, it was such a great season and, you know, reestablishing this program to where it once was. And I know down the line, things are just going to get bigger and better with you at the helm. What would it mean to play in a district championship? Yeah. I mean, these guys will tell you, I tout district basketball. It's my favorite.
That's the best round.
It is my absolute favorite because you know the teams, you know the people, you know.
Now, Danny will say next week the regionals are.
No, I will not. Hey, I'm going up there tomorrow night. Yeah. I'm going to watch it.
At least you don't have to play Rushi.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to listen to him and Rushi all year long.
I think they're a good team. Do you?
I would agree with you.
They're okay.
But no, it would be special. I mean, again, we're going to take it one game at a time. We know the challenge we have on Tuesday. But, you know, it would be special. I think the last time would be, I believe those were the Taryn Sullivan years.
Rockhold twins, right?
Yeah. Rockhold and Taryn and that group that they had. Colin Gossert was on that group, I believe. And been 2013-2014 season, I believe. I think they went to regional finals.
Doug Davis was coaching, right?
Yeah. I think that they went a couple years in a row there with that group. But, you know, obviously be special. And, you know, I think, you know, again, what motivate, or, you know, going back to the question about, you know, motivation, you're playing for those special moments with your brothers. And, you know, obviously we've had, you know, a little bit more success this year, and we're going to continue to, you know, and I told our guys this at the end of the regular season, you know, I told them, you know, not many individuals in Northwest Ohio would have saw us having, you know, the success as far as wins and losses that we did in our first season, right? Absolutely. And we talk about the second season, and let's do the same thing. You know, let's go out and, you know, we're going to take it one game at a time, and we'll see where we fall.
So before you get out of here, Coach, I do want to ask you, I want to go back a little bit to you coming to Bath and making that coaching change. And, you know, whether it's, you know, just people talking in speculation or whatever, your name came up in a lot of coaching searches over the last couple of years.
Right? I promise you.
And, you know, and there was a lot. And it's got to be, one, it's got to be flattering to know that, you know, absolutely, hey, these people believe in my style so much. Whether it was just people and their perception or whatever. But what was it? Obviously, being an alum is a big part. But, you know, signing up to come back to a program that is in a big rebuild, has struggled.
Yeah.
It plays in the Western Buckeye League, which is not an easy conference by any stretch. What was it about this Bath program that just you knew you needed to come back?
I think simply put, it was just home. It was being home. You know, I was pretty confident. And again, you know, talking about transitioning programs and what that means, how difficult that is. You know, I knew it was going to have to be a special place that meant something to me to leave the kids at Upper Soda Valley. You know, the relationships that we had, the success that we had, the players that we had, I knew it was going to have to be a special place like home that meant something. And I think, you know, in the back of my mind, I've been coaching, I think, 10 years-ish now and 8 as a head coach, I believe. I think I always knew at some spot in my coaching career, if I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to come back home and try to get some success and some pride back into the Bath boys basketball program, that's what I wanted to do. So obviously there's opportunities that arose in the past, and you know, a lot of it is timing as well. Us coaches have families and jobs outside of coaching. I'm not in education. So, you know, there's other factors that played into that. And, you know, this one finally felt right. And I was pretty confident I'd have the right pieces as far as a staff that was going to, you know, make that transition with me. And, you know, I live in the district. My wife works in the district. I'm an alumni. I have a kid that's a kindergartner. So he's coming up through, you know, I'm going to be involved in the school.
Is he going to be a scorer?
coaching him one day, if that ever comes to be a thing, is going to be something. It's going to be something. My wife and I talk about that frequently. But I think that was, you know, to answer the question, that's what it was. You know, I remember our first home game, and it took some time for us to get a home game this year. I think we didn't play a home game until December 17th, maybe against Temple. But I remember, you know, I didn't even think, you know, how much it'd come full circle and how much that would kind of, you know, impact me or set me back. But, you know, I remember the national anthem playing and starters coming, how much, I guess, emotion and just everything kind of coming back.
That's cool.
So that meant a lot. And I think, you know, that moment, you know, as hard as it was, the transition and, you know, away from Upper South of Valley and the success that we had. And it could have been, you know, pretty the easy thing to do to, you know, stay put and try to build on that success with good players. And, but, you know, I was excited for the challenge and kind of knew what it would mean on the other side of it. And I think, you know, special moments like that first game and some of the success that we've seen. And I think also just seeing our guys, you know, some of our upperclassmen excited to be at practice and excited for some of the success that we've seen has kind of made it worth it. And, you know, I'm excited for, you know, a lot of those things, hopefully with Bath Boys basketball to continue as well. And I think our challenge now is, okay, we've changed the direction a little bit. Let's keep going. Let's sustain that. But yeah.
Do you know that Danny went to USC?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
If Dre
yeah.
was coaching when I was playing basketball at Upper South Valley, I'll stay.
I was going to ask him that. If you were coaching Danny, you would have stayed, right?
I'm a two-guard. Yeah. Give me the ball. Yeah. Give me some screens, and I'm knocking jumpers all day. Now, we didn't have a three-point line when I played.
It's like Jimmy Chipley.
Exactly.
Did you just say you didn't have a three-point line when you played?
I was late
He's
80s,
old.
Dude.
How am I friends with you guys?
Well, the only guy I hang out with.
We need you to push us around.
Yeah. He acts like he's so much younger.
I am.
Coach, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
You're not going to ask him your question?
Do you want me to ask?
You have to.
Yeah, I should, yeah. He's not going to answer it, but
Yes, he will. And if he says Elida.
He's better than that. Coach, every time we have a player on the show or a coach, I always ask him the same question.
Okay.
Who's the one team you enjoy beating the most? And most coaches, yeah, I know, right? And most coaches be like, oh, I like to beat everybody. Now, the players, the kids, they just flat out tell you. Yeah. Oh, I hate
There's not been one player that struggled with that question. They've been all over it.
We hate them.
Don't worry. Whatever you answer, we're going to dub in Eli Duncan.
Yeah. I was going to say, in 24 hours or so, hopefully that answer is Eli Duncan. But, yeah, I mean, I think as a coach, this is probably the difference between the player answer and the coach answer, right? The coaches, you learn to enjoy them all. It's cliche, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Winning is not easy. There's some tremendous players in this area.
Yeah.
You lied up.
I'm going to let you go, Coach.
Appreciate it.
You've been tremendous. Thank you so much. And best of luck tomorrow night against Delighted.
Thank you.
And you've got fans and friends here.
Thank you.
The three wise men.
For sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's some good stuff. All right, guys, let's get to it. Let's preview the tournament games on WOSN. Man, they just keep getting bigger and better, gentlemen. Tuesday night at Liberty Benton, Randy Roberts, Miles Holiday on the call, Bowling Green Shawnee in the game one, Wapakoneta, Defiance game two. What if we get a WBL rematch?
Well, I think that's what we're going to get, right?
Yeah, I feel pretty confident in that one. Yeah.
Sorry, boy.
Seems like you're really going out on a limb on that one.
Danny's worried about our ratings in BG.
I don't want the Falcons to be mad.
Like, they're not the
well,
Falcons.
They're the Bobcats.
They're the Bobcats.
Sorry.
Wow, Shawnee's really stepping up. You know, playing the college team, aren't they?
Well, I just made two fan bases.
You know what? They probably still win. All right, so the BG Bobcats, Danny, six wins. I mean, this is going to be a tough task for them, right? Yeah. They do not score a lot of points. They do have one guy that is an absolute stud, Tom Meek. He led the NLL in rebounds with 8 a game, scores about 10. And then they got Shannon that scores 12. That's it, folks. That's it.
Shawnee's gonna thump them.
Yeah, I really think Shawnee is gonna thump them. Open court opportunities are gonna be a plentiful. BG turns the basketball over a lot. And I was thinking before we got on air, and I was driving down here, and I was thinking, you know, how Senior does a great job with their open court, right? And so does Shawnee. But is there a better team in recent memory with home run passes
that lead from one end to another for a layup, like Sean. Like
just because their length.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I can't remember another team that does as good a job at that. I like Shawnee a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, if you're looking at this and going, well, if this is such a blowout, how is this a district final? Well, Coach Triplett didn't want his team to have a big, long layoff, so they took the play-in game.
They didn't
want to rest. Yeah. Bowling Green, so on top of all the other struggles they've had, they also haven't played in a while. And they're going to have a long layoff, and they got to get back on the court against the Shawnee team. I don't think this goes well for Bowling Green. I think this sets up very nicely for Shawnee. It was a great strategy by Coach Triplett, and I think they move right through on to the next one.
I'm going to make a prediction here, gentlemen. Are you ready for this?
Okay, all right.
I think Wapakoneta is going to give Defiance all they want.
I think
Coach Trey Elkert, when he gets time to game plan, look, I think Defiance...
They're playing really good basketball right now.
I think Defiance probably has their 1 and 2 players are probably better, don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, 1 through 10, I think WAPOC stacks up with them. They play really hard. Yeah. They're very athletic. And they got Caleb Moyer, who does all the dirty stuff. He rebounds. He gets on the floor. I think WAPOC has a great shot at this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you remember to our bracket show last week, this is my pick. I think WAPOC wins this one. I think we're going to end up with a district final matchup between Shawnee and WAPOC.
Yeah, it defines.
Wouldn't we all like that?
Defines leading rebounder is out, has a foot injury. He did not play against Salina. Don't know if he's going to be back or not. But you know, he's a 6'7" kid that rebounds seven rebounds a game. They had to bring in a JV type kid to play backup minutes at center. I think that could be key. But you don't forget, you know, one of the best players in the WBL is still with Defiance. Kaligan, fantastic, 17, 6 rebounds. He is a guy that will score for them. All right, and then Schlatter is another guy. So. Really, whoever's that third guy, whoever gets that guy, it scores for them, is going to win this game. Let's just hope it's a better game than when they played early in the year when it was like a 32-26 rock fight. You remember how ugly that thing was? So let's hope it's a little bit better. Both teams, I think, are playing better basketball than when they played.
Yeah. Gentlemen, Tuesday night at Finley, it's a showdown that we're all excited about. Mark Schein and Jerry Snodgrass will be on the call. The Bath Wildcats, the Elida Bulldogs, round number K. It's the third time they've played this year. And guys, look, when you look at Elida, they've got two dynamic guards. They've got an inside presence in Parker Krim. They've got Marcus Hill who can score. They've got guys coming off the bench. And then I look over at Bath, Logan Markley, Jackson White. Look, if they find a third scorer consistently, this could be a great game. I think Bath is playing really good basketball. Elida's playing good basketball. This is what, for me, this is what tournament action is all about. Two local teams that have played each other more than once, and now they're playing in the district.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all going to come down to what you heard Coach White talking about, though. Bath has got to find a way to shut down the transition from Elida.
It's going
to
be huge.
They did a very poor job of that in the first two matchups, and that is what leads to a lot of the points for the Bulldogs. Now, if Bath can find a way to neutralize that, this is going to be a different matchup. But that's a lot easier said than done when you talk about the Bulldogs and the guards that they have on those runouts.
You know what stops transition the best? Making buckets.
Absolutely.
make your shots, right? Basketball, when it comes down to it, you're a shot-making team or you're not. If they can make their shots early and stop that transition, I think Bath has a chance. But, Nate, I go back to that two losses and the two wins, right? Would you rather be Elida with the two wins or Bath with the two losses?
Elida with the two wins.
Right, absolutely, right? You have that confidence factor, right? So if things get off to a good start for Elida, here we go again, baby. We're going to win this one. You know, if things get off to a slow start for Bath, then you start looking at that scoreboard like, hey, we've lost these guys already twice.
Let me ask you guys this. Bigger win for Elida beating them three times or bigger win for Bath bouncing back from two losses?
Well, I think it's a hard one to quantify because you're talking about...
Quantify!
He said quantify! The education of Nate Garland!
I'm so proud of you, Nate! Little fella, he was crawling last week and he's walking this week.
But,
oh, you're so cute.
When you look at it is, you know, if you're talking about regular season, but you're not, you're talking about tournaments and you're talking, like, it's a different... It's a huge win.
Quantify that.
Well, you're talking about Bath team, and we talked about with Coach White about this program making the turnaround and the lack of success that they have seen in the last decade or so. Winning this game, not just the fact that you beat Elida after losing to them twice, I don't think that's the bigger moment. I think it's the fact that now you get to go play for a district title. That's a much bigger moment for this program than beating Elida would be.
Quantify garlic.
And then if you're Elida, this is a team that was that got beat last year in this same spot against a really good Shawnee team. People thought they were going to take a step back, losing Coach Tabler and bringing in Coach Howard. Well, this team has only seemed to excel, got themselves into a one seed, has played really well. Got a couple of losses towards the end of the season. They struggle a little bit with Van Wert. Now people are like, well, is this, is everything okay with Elida? Did those losses kind of set them back? They got to show that they're the team that they had been for the majority of the season as well. And then they get over that hump of a district semi and they get a chance to play for the district title. So I really do believe that this game is bigger than just the Elida-Bath rivalry, because moving past this round of the tournament is going to mean a lot for both of these programs.
It's tough to go against Island and Wash, isn't it? Even when Island got in foul trouble last week, Amari Wash, all he did is a step forward, say, no big deal, I'll carry us, get the win, right? And then how do you go against Parker Krim? Yeah, we asked Coach about that, right? Yeah. We asked Coach. Wasn't really sure that they had an answer, right? We're going to try and do better.
It's got to be a group effort. The thing about a group effort is if one guy's having an off night, then the group isn't there.
Well, we talked about Lauren Ockmoody earlier controlling the game.
She boxes out Parker Krim.
Well, we talked about that. But you look at Parker Krim, how he controls the game without scoring. I mean, he is just all
just a monster. Well, and even when he's not on, like, this is the thing about Parker when you watch him play, right? You know, there's times that, you know, maybe the footwork isn't the greatest, or, you know, there's things that he can work on, but he is so strong. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have to put himself into position. He just grabs the ball and takes it from people. People think that they got it. They're in good position. He's like, I need this. And he takes it, and that's how he has so many offensive rebounds.
Okay.
He literally just rips it away from people.
Care to make a prediction? Because apparently last week we're making the rounds on social media with some things that were said.
That was Diamond Dave Bowen.
Yeah, he fired up the Elida Bulldogs because he picked Van Wert to win. I ain't touching this game.
No, whoever did that mashup thing.
Dude, we're going to do two takes. I like Elida. I like Bath.
And you just went viral.
All right, guys, let's look at this one down at Wapakoneta. Myself and Darren Gilbert, Big Gills, back in the booth. Coldwater, Spencerville, New Bremen, Marion Local. Gentlemen, this Coldwater Spencerville game, I said this last week, if they get a play, Coldwater has the athletes to get out on the perimeter and guard those guards. And you know what else they got? Baylen Blockberger, who can flat out score.
Yeah, he can, right?
Yeah.
And rightfully so, player of the year in the MAC. What an unbelievable matchup nightmare he is at 6'4", that can handle the basketball and score just about anywhere. But people forget Mason Welch, how good he is for them as well. So you look at Mason Welch, and maybe that is a break them even against Carter Orr, right? Two big guys inside doing a really good job.
Carter Orr's had a great year.
So that's an even matchup. Now, I do look back, though, Danny, at Coldwater's big loss to Crestview.
Yeah.
The guards ate him alive, right? Crestview had a really good night that night with their guards, their quickness. Did a really good job. Well, who's got some quick guards? Well, maybe it's Spencerville, right?
Yeah.
I like guard play.
Nate, Will Sensabaugh and Owen Sensabaugh, every time we doubt these guys, they're cutthroat. I said...
Who doubted Will or Owen Sensabaugh?
Wait a minute.
Nobody at this table,
Nick can go back and splice it and show I picked them to beat St. John's. Right?
Nick can do whatever he wants.
I know, right? He's a wizard. Yeah, what's your thoughts on these guys? They're really good. They're really good.
So this is one of those ones where, when we had the Sensabaughs and Coach Sensabaugh on, you know, we talked about, man, like, their life just doesn't get any easier, right? They finally moved them out of the district into another one, and it's like, so here you go, now you get Coldwater. If you get past Coldwater, you're going to get Parrish-Marion and Local. But this is going to be a tough matchup for them. This is going to be one of those matchups where it's going to be the little things, right? Sometimes you can get away with the little things not going your way and it still be okay. I don't think that's going to be this type of matchup.
Yep.
This is going to be those ones where whoever wins is going to be sound in every aspect, in every part of this game. You're not going to see a lot of unforced errors. There are not going to be a lot of self-sabotage. They're going to take care of the basketball. They're going to share it well. I think Carter Orr does play a big part in this one. When Carter Orr is a big piece of the offense, this Bearcat team is borderline unstoppable.
Right.
In games where he's been neutralized, that's when we start seeing things get a little bit dicey sometimes for them. I really do think, though, that this is a Spencerville team that just seems to be on a path.
I agree.
And yeah. I think that these guys want this at just at a different level. The way they talk about it, the way that they prepare for it, the way that they can get things done, they just will themselves to win in these big games. And I think that they will find a way to get past Coldwater.
Well, Grady Smith and Jude Steeman, two guys that have really progressed throughout the season. So early,
Jude's a freshman, too. Yeah, he's really good.
Watch out. That lefty can hit the three ball.
Oh, I know.
So you started a year out just the big three, the big three, the big three. And slowly but surely, you know, Grady would have a big game and then maybe regress back for a game, then have another big one. And so would Steeman. But the last couple weeks, these guys have really been solid. So it's almost like a fivesome now that you got to really be aware of. I like the Spencerville team and the direction they're going in.
Yeah. Guys, New Bremen and Marion Local in the nightcap. And look, this is a good New Bremen team. This is a great Marion Local team. This Marion Local team has every piece you need to make it to the University of Dayton. They have size. They have guards. They have great coaching. I just don't see a scenario where New Bremen gets through. I see Marion Local onto the district finals.
Look, they have great coaching, but I think you and I in blindfolds could coach this group and probably do really well. They're unbelievable. They're only two losses, DSJ and Rushi, right? Thanks for coming, New Bremen. This is going to be a tough ask for New Bremen. My question to you guys, it's going to take one player to have like an out-of-world game, right? A guy that just goes crazy to keep New Bremen in this one. Do they have a guy like that could maybe have a surprise night? Right. When they played earlier in the year, I mean, it was just an easy one for Marion Local, 54-36. I see that being the same way.
Yeah, I think so, too. Marion Local is going to cruise to this one. And, you know, you wonder, too, within that Marion Local locker room. And, you know, obviously, you're going to get through New Bremen. They're going to be focused, looking ahead to that potential matchup between either Coldwater or Spencerville. If the seeds hold, you know, you're looking at a Spencerville-Marion Local matchup in the district final. Now, I say that Coldwater can win that game. That's a toss-up game for sure. But you wonder if Marion Local's got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder with that number two next to their name in that seed, right? They beat Spencerville.
They did, yeah.
But unfortunately, the seeds, all the voting, everything had already been done. It had been frozen. So that win didn't mean anything when it came to the seeding. And they probably get the easier path to the final. So it probably worked out well for him anyway.
Yeah.
But
a lot of easy pass in this, though.
But you just wonder if it's like, hey, we already beat you. We deserve that number one spot. Now we get to show you that we're the number
one. Look, if it's a Marion Local Spencerville district final Friday night, which I'll be on the call for, that gym's not big enough. I'm just telling you, those two fan bases,
insane.
And it'll be nuts. Yeah. It will be absolutely nuts. I can't wait for it.
It'll also be a real good 50-50.
It's always the financial aspect.
But pretty good.
Guys, look at this. Friday night, or excuse me, Wednesday at Elida. I don't think there's a district with four teams that are more evenly matched than this one. Columbus Grove, Crestview, Bluffton, LCC. Let's start with the first one. Columbus Grove, Crestview. There's a little bit of animosity here with Grove and Crestview. You know, at the top of the leaderboard in the NWC, they've been battling out in every sport for the last couple of years.
They sure have. And, you know, Danny, I have to ask this question, okay? Yeah. The people of the NWC, right? There was two champs, right? Two champs, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Spencerville?
Yes.
Right? And Columbus Grove, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yep. Yes.
Coach of the year. Who got coach of the year? Kevin Sensabaugh.
Kevin Sensabaugh.
Right. Connor Coles didn't do a good job.
He did a really good job.
Right? You can have co-champs, but not co-coaches. I thought the job that Connor Coles. I thought the job Connor Coles did after, you know, having that rough start where you're getting guys off the medical list because of football season and getting a slow start.
I love you, Kevin.
I love Kevin, too. But make it make sense that there was co-champs, but it wasn't co-coaches.
Too, yeah.
How does that make sense?
I'm with you. All right. We didn't. It wasn't our decision.
I want to write in.
I don't know why you're yelling at us.
I want to write in.
Let's quantify what you're saying.
Oh, he's stealing your word.
Why? Will you stop trying to be me?
I'm sorry. I love you, Nate.
But Danny, this should be a great one, right? With Crestview, 16 out of the last 17. You know, I think the big thing for them is they found a little bit more of a defensive identity. They're using a lot of 1-3-1, and we saw against LCC, it causes problems.
Well, I think you said it earlier about another team, but Crestview's the same way. When they get good guard play,
huge.
They're unstoppable.
Parrott, Lee, Heppner, Heckler. Heckler was huge against Coldwater with 6 threes. If those guys play really well, and we all know what Ren Sheets can do inside.
He's so good.
They're really tough to beat. Oh, but let me tell you, though, let me tell you about Columbus Grove.
Oh, baby.
When it comes to Columbus Grove, you got to talk about the three Bs, the big Bs, the killer Bs, Baxter, Basinger, Best, Barraza, and Barraza.
Stop.
Killer Bs are unbelievable, baby.
Stop. We're going to go to commercial.
Oh, my God.
You don't like my Dick Vitale?
No, that was Dick Vitale? I thought it was President Trump.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a great game nonetheless.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think this is going to come down to, you know, Ren Sheets. Last time that I saw Crestview a few weeks ago was Crestview LCC. LCC found a way to neutralize Ren Sheets. When Ren Sheets and his scoring ability can be hindered a little bit, this Crestview team really struggles. Columbus Grove knows how to play and draw up a good defense. Connor Coles does a great job defensively and putting into a scheme
to try to
neutralize what the other team does well. That's how they beat now Spencer also missed a lot of three-pointers that game, but they forced them out there. They made them have to take those shots. I think Columbus Grove comes in with a good defensive scheme. I think that they will look to try to find a way to shut Ren Sheets down or at least neutralize him. They can do that. This is a Grove team that can win this one.
They're really athletic.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch them run and jump and shoot. Yep. They're really athletic.
There's one guy that run everywhere.
I mean, you know, it's already on tape. It's on the brackets. I took Columbus Grove to win this one.
You did.
And they have Basinger that could do a good job of limiting Ren Sheets.
Yeah. Nightcap guys, Bluffton LCC. Don't kill the chances of Bluffton in this game.
No.
I'm a Central Catholic. Yeah. Now, I don't know what the status of Zod Burton is. He did not play against Ada. He was in a walking boot of some type. I'm not real sure. I haven't talked to Coach Powell about that. But nonetheless, even if he was in the lineup, look, Zod Burton and Jeff Williams, both freshmen, this is a big spot. You wonder what their emotions are. And Bluffton's got some seniors. Bluffton's got some leadership. Bluffton's coached well by Todd Boblett. I like Bluffton in this game. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but I really like them.
Yeah, so I'm saying that they're winning the game.
I pick
Bluffton to
LCC
win this
grad.
One. Yeah, I just think that the way that Bluffton is playing right now, maybe it's giving too much credit, but I saw that Bluffton Elida game. I called that game. Bluffton beating Elida, I really felt like helped Bluffton kind of turn the page. We can win these big ones now. We can close teams out because that's what they've been struggling with. They had six losses by a combined 20 points. They closing games out was their problem. Earlier in the season, games that had that Elida one went where they had a big lead, they gave it up, now they're down. Well, they don't find a way back in to win those games, right? They come up just short. That one, it wasn't the case. Against a good Elida team with good guards, with strong inside play, now they're going to be down. You know, they have their own injuries that they're dealing with. You know, they've got to kind of figure out how to go without Wooster. But This is a Bluffton team that plays really well. Blake Summers is an underrated big guy.
He's a nice player.
He can stretch the floor. He can go inside. He can shoot the three-pointer. Merrick Donaldson does a really nice job for them as well. Being out there plays great defense. I just think that they're more consistent than LCC is right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what's going on with Zod Burton. I saw him Saturday. He's still in the boot.
In the boot.
Yep. And who knows what will happen throughout the week. But when you're talking about ankle injuries, they're a toss-up. Those things are hard. You could have an ankle injury that
it's so hard to heal because you got to walk on them.
And you know, it's something that you could bounce back from a week, or you could be in a boot for 6 weeks. It just depends.
Yeah.
And I just now. LCC will have the most talented player on the floor.
That's where I was going. I was going to ask. I was going to ask Miles if it's a close game, gentlemen. Who's the best player on the floor?
Jordan Pretty is the best player on the floor. He and you guys saw what he could do, but you saw them struggle against Ada. Now Chris Sauter's a great coach.
He
knows how to get his team.
Great game plan.
Yes, but you know, if you watch some of that film, your coach Boblett, you're like, oh. Box of one can board pretty well.
Okay. Yeah.
And really, LCC didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're Todd Boblett, you know, coaches like to steal things all the time, right? And not to mention, Todd Boblett, is there a better coach at changing up looks from possession to possession than him? I mean, he does a great job of it. And that is a great kryptonite for young offensive players, right? So Jeff Williams, who Danny, you know, and I, we love him, but he loves the challenge, doesn't he?
Yeah. He got a little chippy the other night. And I don't mean in a bad way. You could just see some frustration. But
man, that kid's fearless. He's fearless. I love him.
But he's fearless, but they're not always great shots.
Right.
Well, his speed is such an asset, but it can also be a hindrance because he knows how fast he is.
He's like a quarterback that has a great arm. They try to make every pass.
And, he can use it to be able to get down the floor quick. He can break defenses. He can split them. But that also gives him that confidence to be able to do that when sometimes maybe that's not the best idea to do. And now you have turnovers going back the other way, and it turns into some points. He'll figure out those moments. That takes experience. It takes time on the floor. I mean, he is just a freshman. You're going to have those growing pains, but a lot of it's going to depend on how Coach Powell chooses to use those moments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you have to let your players just play through that stuff. But when you're in a tournament, those are the types of moments that can sometimes cost you games.
DJ Jazzy Jeff Williams, quickest guy, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great matchup. Bean Ginter.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be so much fun. Two quick guys going at it. You brought up a good point with Blake Summers. Don't know if LCC has an answer for him. They do struggle inside. Pister has played pretty good basketball for him. But if you're Sean Powell, you don't want to waste Brady Parker on him because you're going to need Brady Parker to get rebounds and score for you. Brady's going to have to be assertive early like he was against Senior, right? Yeah. I think he's going to have to get a lot of buckets for them in that first half if LCC is going to win this one. I like Merrick Donaldson kind of being to equal to Jordan Purdy, at least on the score. Scoreboard. I think this one's decided by a Taron Boblett three-pointer a little bit late to give them the lead. I like how Bluffton takes care of the basketball in the tournament. Not so much about LCC, so I'm going with Bluffton on this one.
Dave Bowen and Evan Skilleter on the call. Dave Bowen, a Crestview grad. Evan Skilleter, a Bluffton grad. If Evan can get Dave to the ground, he wins that. If not, Dave's got the reach on him, so it'll be a good
fight. It'll be a good wrestling match.
Yeah, it'll be a great match, yeah. All right. Guys, it's the ladies' night and the feeling's right. Yeah, Wednesday at Ridgedale. Mark Shine, Scott Magg, Ottawa Glandorf, Johnstown, Monroe, and you're automatically saying Ottawa Glandorf's just going to scoot right through. Not so fast, my friend. This is a coaching staff. Scott Helmke, longtime coach for the Johnsville Johnnies. He's been there a long time. Also, did you know they've got a WNBA player and a former OSU lady basketball player? Debbie Merrill, I know you know that name.
But she's not playing.
She's on that bench, too. This is a Johnstown Monroe program that's really good. With being said, OG just wins.
Eight in a row for Johnstown Monroe, right?
Yep.
Oh, but wait, 22 in a row for OG. Yeah.
I really like OG in this game.
I do. Yeah. Here's the thing that was so impressive, right? The WBL postseason came out. Erford Player of the Year. Grothouse, honorable mention. Komet, first team. Brinkman, third team. I mean, it's just how many ladies did they have on that all team? So this is a really good OG. Look, I'm going to say it. I think they win it all.
I want Erford on this show. Yeah. She's that good. Yeah. I'm telling you, she's so good.
I'll take Komet also.
I agree with both of you guys. You know, that Johnstown Monroe team, not a lot of people in this area may be familiar with Johnstown Monroe, but I play Johnstown Monroe twice a year in lacrosse, and we've been doing it for 7 years.
The Johnnies.
We travel down there. It's a trip. It's a hike. They come up to us.
It's a suburb of Columbus, right?
Yeah. On the other side. You go through New Albany and to get in there. But I'm going to be rooting Ottawa Glandorf all the way. The rivalry is real. We've had this rivalry with them. We play them in tournaments, and we've had overtime games with them. And it's been a little rough the last couple of years with us, so they've taken advantage. So I'm ready to watch Johnstown go down big. OG will do my bidding for me. Very excited to watch the Lady Titans take down Johnstown Monroe.
Well, first he broke out Quantify. Now he's breaking out this hatred for Johnstown. We don't even know you anymore.
That's right. Keep you on your toes.
I'm calling Young Gravy. He's a Johnstown guy. That's where he graduated.
Oh, yeah.
I used to like him.
Thursday at Lima Senior, guys. It's a football rematch. It's a state tournament football rematch. Upper Side of Alley, Delphi St. John's, Garrett Seawright, Josiah Stober, USV DSJ in game one, Ridgemont Minster game two. It's the MAC versus the NWCC.
Well, Danny, why don't you start? Because, I mean, you know these guys better than anybody.
Yeah,
I think it's your backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Upper Side of Valley, it's as Maddox Underwood goes, shall we.
Player of the year.
He's the player of the year. He is a dynamic scorer. He's a 25-point guy every night. He's a great student. He's a 4.0. He's number one in the class. With that said, Delvis St. John's is just, look, from 1 to 10, their roster's so much better than Upper Side of Valley. And I think Upper Side of Valley will go out and compete, but I just think attrition is going to wear him down. And how do you stop the best player in the state of Ohio? And that's what he is, right?
Who's that?
Cam Elwer. You know him.
Okay.
So, you know,
I like Delta St. John's. I hope it's a great game. I think it can be for a while. But again, Delta St. John's is going to wear you down, and I think they move on.
I agree with you. How do you go against Cam Elwood?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you got going here is, right, is that little extra motivation maybe from USB.
From the football.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah. And, let's go out there and pull the upset, but that'll be a monumental task.
I mean, you might want to change his last name to Maddox Underdog.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, poor guy. I mean, the end of his season in football, the USB or USJ or DSJ, hopefully they play really well, but it looks like his career will be over.
They led that football game for 3.5 quarters. Yeah. So. And nightcap Ridgemont and Minster. Ridgemont's had a great season. They won the Northwest Central Conference. They got the coach of the year. They've got some really good players, but again, it's a matter of roster from 1 to 10. Minster, just so big down low at 6'8", and they've just got such great guards in Brogan Steffi and Cole Richards.
That's what I like about them.
They're just so good on the perimeter. I like Delphi St. John's.
Ridgemont's not teeny tiny.
No, they're big not. Too. Hey, look, it's a great Ridgemont team this year. They're conference champs, but this is a step up. And I would don't take anything away from Minster, but I would love for Ridgemont to give them a really good game. I think it'd be great for both conferences.
I think it will for a half, but then the guards for Minster will take over.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you have guard play in tournaments, I always like those teams. You know, they're going to be secure for you, and they're going to be tenacious. I like that Minster backcourt.
Yeah. I mean, I think this one will be closer than people expect it to be. I think this Ridgemont team is very underrated.
They
had a chance to see them.
18-5.
They do have size. They play well. They can get up and down the floor in transition if you give them an opportunity.
Xavier Stuck's a nice player.
They have some pieces. I think this one will be closer, but I think ultimately Minster's just going to be too talented. I think that they will pull this one out. And then you get a DSJ Minster district final. That'll be.
Is there a gym big enough to hold that game? Right? The crowds will be incredible.
Yep.
Guys, Thursday at Elida, Garrett Mansfield, Darren Evergall on the call. Not real sure why we're not playing this one in Ottawa. It's all Putnam County League right here. Ottaville, Miller City, Fort Jennings, Kalida. I'm sure they wouldn't mind having to travel to Elida. Not that Elida's far, but Elida's the most iconic place for basketball anyways. This is going to be a great, great district tournament.
It sure is, because, Nate, you could make an argument that one of these four teams could have been to one seed, couldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a little surprising, and it's the new system more than anything. Miller City not playing well towards the end of the year. You know, I think they got that one seed on the back of what they did the first three quarters of the season.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, and so I mean, the fact that Kalida is the three seed in that, I mean, that I. Because, I mean, I think if you
talk
to people...
That'd make me mad.
You could talk me into Kalida being the favorite. Yeah. And they're the three seed.
Yeah.
So I think that this is one of the better districts setups for semifinals and finals. I think they're going to be really entertaining games. I think ultimately you're going to get an Ottaville-Kalida. I know Ottaville is missing their best player. But I just think that they're still going to have enough to get past the Miller City team that is struggling right now. And then... In that final, I think it's going to be Kalida.
Yeah, you look at Miller City. They lost to Kalida, lost to Fort Jennings, lost to Ottaville early in the year. So, yeah. And it makes you scratch your head. How they the one seed? But, all four of these teams are about equal in my estimation. I do like Kalida like you, Nate. Bubba Smith, Steve Siebneck, and Schroeder, fantastic players. Six of the last seven, won three in a row. That being said... I can't ever bet against Coach Udendorf. I can't.
That's where I'm going.
Who's better at figuring out post feeds year in, year out than Udendorf? And then you forget about it, and then you're in a district final, and the other team's in foul trouble because they've been pounding the post.
Yeah, look at the star power in this, guys. You got Keith Udendorf over at Ottaville. You've got Ryan Stechel at Ecolade. You got the player of the year at Fort Jennings. Miller City's had a great year. I'm telling you, this is an underrated district.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
And look, they're going to fill every seat up in this thing. It's going to be fun.
I agree with you. And, just because Miller City's played a little bit under what they should at the end of the year, don't forget.
They're still very capable.
Nice, Barlegi, and Schnipke, pretty good ball players over there.
Yeah. Guys, let's take a look at the tournament as a whole. What did you think of the enthusiasm, the attendance for week one of the tournament? Miles and I had Ada and LCC. Ada brought a really nice crowd.
They did. They were after it.
I was a little disappointed in what LCC brought, but there were still a lot of people there. And it was a great game. What's your thoughts on week one?
Well, I was at Defiance on Thursday with Salina, and it was, Well, I say there
was a
lot
disappointed,
of
yeah.
There was not a lot of enthusiasm there. It was kind of a quiet atmosphere. And again, on Friday, it was kind of had like a middle of the season, like a middle December game feel to it, right?
Right before Christmas or right after?
Yes.
We're tired.
There wasn't that on the edge of your seat enthusiasm about it. And I kind of took me back to when we had four games in the sectionals at a neutral place.
Loved it.
And everybody was there and everybody was just excited to watch basketball. Kind of missed that a little bit.
Yeah, I was down in New Knoxville for a New Knoxville Waynesfield Goshen. It's kind of the same thing. Just it was kind of dead. There wasn't much of a crowd. That's a smaller gym too, and it just, you know, it was an extra gate for New Knoxville, and I'm sure they made some money, and I think that's kind of what the whole point for the OHSAA was. It just didn't feel like tournament basketball. It didn't feel like what we're used to, and maybe we're just the old guys telling everybody to get off our lawn.
No,
it's just not the same.
I'm going to just say it now, and I've said it the last couple of weeks. You're going to see at the OHSA State Championship, which is now just one game. It's not a Final Four. You're going to see, in my opinion, you're going to see the lowest attendance in the history of OHSA for state championship games because those other schools aren't staying. Nobody's staying in town. Look, you're going to get schools coming to the state championship game that are going to get on a bus that morning, come to the game, and go home. And in past years, they got a hotel. They had to find a school to practice at. They had a team meal. Everybody went to the same restaurant.
You measured how high the hoop was.
Yeah. It's.
But ultimately, and I could be wrong. So if I'm wrong, I'm sure something.
Whoa! How Nick caught that? Nick, did you catch that?
But I'm my assumption is that the OHSA still does this. I know since COVID, a lot of has changed. But in my previous experiences with going to state tournaments as a coach with athletes, the OHSA would reimburse you for your travel. Well, it used to be mileage. I'm pretty sure that went away. But your hotel room and the kid, there'd be certain per diem for kids for food and things like that you would get from the OHSAA. Well, it can be the lowest attended state tournament in history. It's not going to matter. They're still going to turn a profit. Yeah. You know what they're not doing? They're not reimbursing 16 schools for 15 hotel rooms. Yeah. Like it's just all that money's not going anywhere now. And ultimately, this whole thing feels like it's just a way to try to
say it because
it's about money.
We all agree.
It's all about money.
I had a guy say to me, he said, no, the teams will go down and get hooked. No, they're not. No.
Some might, because if you play early in the morning and you're far away, you're not putting your kids on the bus for 3 hours.
No, but I said, if I'm Delta St. John's or Rushi or Shawnee or Lima Senior, my kids are going to sleep in their own beds the night before. We're going to get up. We're going to travel as a team together. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
We see it in track every year, the distractions from one night to the next night.
Oh, yeah.
Getting back to the track. Those hotels are crazy, right? So I'm not sure I would want my kids in a hotel where there's a lot of distractions.
You know what?
I'm kind of with you.
I have the exact opposite. I had the exact opposite experience with track. We never had those issues, but we also were in the mornings. Mm-hmm. So Division III would be first thing. So we would go down, we'd do what we need to do in the evening. We'd go to dinner as a team. We'd stay in the hotel. We're up early the next morning. We go to the track. We compete. Field events were in the morning. You ran later. So you went and did you ran in the morning, you do field events later. And we would have kids in both. So we'd go and run. You go back to the hotel. You recharge them. You go back. But this was a routine. Then it was dinner that night. Lights out. But so we were able to block out those distractions. Sure. But I also had five kids. I didn't have an entire team.
And like
team.
Three of them were D1 athletes.
Like I didn't have.
Coaching.
You know what? They didn't start the season as state champs, fellas.
I've never stayed at a quiet hotel down there for the state championship.
No.
Never have.
Yeah. My daughter, junior year, we went to the hotel. We stayed. We had the team meal. And didn't do as well as I thought because of the sleeping and everything. We changed it up the next year. We did some different things.
That's what good coaches do, Danny.
Yeah, but I mean, I just ultimately think that back to the original point, though, is ultimately I do think that the attendance isn't going to be much of an issue. They're not concerned about that. I think they've shown that before.
Sad.
If it's low attended, ultimately it doesn't matter because they're not going to be losing as much money with all the other stuff that comes usually with playing two games down in Dayton.
Yeah. Guys, a lot of schools hosted sectional championship games. Should we cut down nets for the sectional championships? Some schools are only playing one game.
You have teams starting in the district. Why would you be – why are sectionals special anymore?
I didn't put it down here. No, he did.
That's literally my question to you guys. You have teams now where sectionals aren't a thing,
right,
or your first game is a district semifinal or a district final.
Yeah.
Why are sectionals special?
Here's what
and you're cutting down your own net sometimes.
Yes, I'm not going to name names, but we did see on social media schools, they win that one game and they're up there cutting down the net in their own gym. I talked to Bryn Lehman at Defiance. I'm like, Coach, you guys beat Salina tonight. Are you cutting down the net? And he's like, no. We're getting on to the district. So it does make me wonder, is it acceptable now or not? Because it used to be everybody cut down the sectional net because it was a neutral site. Should you do it or not? To me, you win one game, it's kind of silly, isn't it?
Well, look, when I
it's 100%.
When I played, it was a whole different ball game.
Yes.
And there was four teams, and you played in a neutral site, and you were playing teams that you played already that year, and bitter rivals, USV, Ada, Ridgemont, and all those Hardin County teams that really get after it. And it meant something to win those two games and to go on to the district.
Right.
And now it doesn't feel that way at all.
Let me ask you guys this, because I know you guys have been around the Super Sectionals way more than I have been. At any point in those Super Sectionals, in previous years, not this year, do they cut down nets outside of winning the district?
Yeah, depending on the school.
Yeah,
like Ottawa Glendorf would laugh at people.
if it's a school that's not won a sectional in 25 years, a school that doesn't have a lot of success.
But with those Super Sectionals, it's not always even recognized as a sectional championship.
But it still took two wins to get it.
Yeah, and here's the thing: if I'm Dre White, and I'm winning a sectional this year, I'm cutting that net down. I'm showing my kids how important that is.
Yeah,
I mean, there's value in that. If I'm Ottawa Glendorf, I don't even think about the sectional. If I'm Shawnee, I don't even think about that stuff.
Well, my biggest problem with it is just that not everybody before everybody played a sectional. So if you won it, you won something that everybody played in.
Yeah.
But not everybody won. Now, there are teams who haven't played yet. Sectionals are over, and we're into the districts.
Yeah,
it just makes it less.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan Shadowald said 25 years. It's been 25 years since Ottawa Glendorf did not advance to this week.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild? It's
insane.
That's crazy.
That is wild.
They were still right there.
I mean, even in a down year, they still won
the Big Ten tournament.
They beat the Buckeyes.
Yeah, that's right. We're not talking that. Hey, guys, would you be in favor of a half circle being painted in the key to help decide charging calls?
Yeah, mainly just so the people in the stands be quiet.
Yes.
That's a great response.
100%.
Yes.
It's the easiest thing for them to see. That you can't. That was a charge. And then you have to have all these conversations about who got there first, where their feet set, where they square. But put the thing,
quantify
everybody
it,
can
Nate.
See it, you're good to go.
Preach it, baby. Preach it.
Yeah.
The
whole reason why I put that question on there, because on social media, people were, is this a charge or not?
Yeah.
And you're really making it difficult for officials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave the game and put it on social media where 1,000 other idiots can comment on if this official got it right or not, and you could slow it down. That official had that to make that determination, right? And if you have that half circle there, now that official has something else to help them.
You call them idiots. I call them potential three wise men viewers. We love you. Hey, guys, I don't know the answer to this, but why do the days off between the games vary by district? Here's my thing. I think the guys should be Tuesday, Friday. The girls, maybe Wednesday, Saturday. Just make it all uniform.
You can't. You're using the same sites.
Oh, because they changed the seven divisions?
I mean, just think about it this week. Just in the games that WOSN is carrying, there's two different divisions playing at Elida.
Yeah.
So you have to have them on alternate dates because you're not going to play eight games or four games at one site in one night.
Right.
So you have to offset them because Elida's hosting district games Wednesday and Thursday.
So tell me what was wrong with the old system.
Nothing.
The one I don't get, though, okay, I'm at Liberty Benton tomorrow night. All right, we play our semifinal games, and then we're off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're back Saturday afternoon. Other districts, you play Wednesday, we're back Friday playing.
Yeah. Right.
help that make sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that does make
I
sense.
I assume it goes back down to the same thing we just talked about, scheduling. There's something else going, you know, somehow
scheduling
that bets up against
thing.
Yeah, something.
And why are we playing at 4 o'clock on Saturdays?
What's
wrong with 7 o'clock where you've been all year long?
100%. I don't understand that.
Or noon. Why 4?
There's a game at Lima Senior at 2 o'clock.
But that's only because there's a conflict going on that night at Lima Senior, so they had to back the game up 2 hours in order not to bump into what they have. Yeah.
But if you have the choice to keep it as is, that we've been playing at 7, playing at 7, playing at 7, why do you move it to 4 o'clock for no reason?
So people can get out of it early, I guess. I don't know.
I'd like to see all Saturday games we played at noon.
You're like a third grade league. Guys, what's your favorite place to call a tournament game? I'm going to go first.
Sure.
Because I love the Elida Fieldhouse. Yeah. It is the most iconic place for me. It brings back such great memories. Now, I will say this. The old Lima Senior Gym, the new one's nice, but the old one, when I was a kid, we used to go there for districts. It used to be every year, the school I played for, we'd go to Bath for sectionals, Lima Senior for district, Bowling Green for regionals, Columbus for state. Well, that's changed a lot, but when they started moving things to the Elida Fieldhouse, man, I've seen so many great icons. And not only that, I've seen them on WSN. I've seen them on WTLW. The great games are always at the Elida Fieldhouse.
Yeah, for me, it's Bowling Green.
Oh, I love Bowling Green.
I love going to Bowling Green. They treat everybody so well there because obviously it's a Division I program. They're used to media and everything. You know, there's only been one time that I haven't been on the floor, at the media row there. Yeah. It's a great vantage point. Everybody there is so great to work with. They treat you right, but it feels big.
It feels like a
big deal. It just gives it.
You
it's
feel
a
good as an announcer.
Everything feels more right. Yeah. Like it's the whole thing I've been harping on the last month when we talk about this stuff. You know, this new format, things are starting to feel less than. When you're at Bowling Green, it feels more.
Time.
It feels like this is a
big deal.
I'd cut
the regional nets down. Yeah.
I love going there, and I've called it at other arenas. Like I've been up to UT to call a game and things like that. It's just not the same. There's something about being at Bowling Green that just feels different. I really love
now,
going
I
there.
I agree with you when you're on the floor at BG. But if you're calling it up there
in the mezzanine, it's not the same. I agree with you because that's we were there last year. Yeah. It wasn't the same.
Nearly as cool.
Yeah,
Danny, I agree with you with the light up because you know where we're at on the baseline.
It's a lot of fun.
It's awesome as long as the floor is dry.
It's
a lot of fun there. And who does a better job than Elida at handling big tournaments? Right,
they do
a great job there. I love it. But I'm gonna say. And that's not my favorite. They're all kind of tied, but Defiance, because it has that college big arena feel, but yet it's small like a high school, and you're calling it, and it's a big-time feel there. I like all three of them.
Have either of you guys ever been to Kettering?
Kettering Alder, yeah.
Yes, that's a unique one because it's the same type of thing as Defiance. It kind of feels like a small college. You're up. It's all set down. You walk in street level. It's down in this bowl.
Vandalia Butler, same thing. It is an enormous gym, but man, what an atmosphere that is, man. I love that. Yeah. Guys, who's your Stolle superstar and Stolle sensational team of the week? Thank you so much, Stolle. They do a great job every week.
Stolle
Insurance. I'm telling you, what a great partner with the Three Wise Men. Stolle Insurance. Give them a call, everybody. They are tremendous.
Like last week when you said, go get your insurance.
Yeah. Go and get it.
If you don't have it, like you need to go.
You got to insure yourself.
Like people watching are going to, honey, I got to go.
Oh, my God. Danny Holbrook on the Three Wise Men just told me I don't have insurance right now. What are we going
to
do? Don't take the car to the grocery.
Listen, Marty Brenneman used to tell you to buckle up. I'd be like, ooh, I forgot. Thanks, Marty.
Oh, thanks,
and
Marty.
I mean, it would work. So you never know.
You had to buckle up to stay in that seat to listen the whole game.
Wow. Red taters.
I have Jordan Pretty, Danny, because he willed, as you saw, he willed himself to win that basketball game.
Yeah.
He was just fantastic. He's getting to that point. We've all watched film. We've all seen special guys. And when you turn on that film and the first minute you watch it, you're like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Right? Because he just jumps off the film. That's becoming him. Pretty is he's absolutely a superstar. And my Stolle sensational team of the week, I'm going to go with the OG girls. Not because they're 22-0, which they are, but they were challenged at halftime against a really good Paulding team. And it was anyone's game at half. And really, really for the first time in who remembers the last time that they were challenged. They responded in the second half, wound up winning comfortably. But I thought that was a great moment for them because they were finally challenged by someone, and they might have not have won the district, but they responded, and that's why they're sensational.
For me, kind of going back to my best things of the week, my Stolle Sensational Team of the Week, the Fort Laramie Girls basketball team, another win, 1,000 victories. I mean, it's something that's never been done before. We're not talking about, just a great milestone. It's the first milestone that's ever been reached at that
point. It's unbelievable.
So them for sure, my Sensational Team of the Week. And for my Stolle Superstar, I'm going with who I mentioned in the Lima Senior Elida Girls basketball game, Lily Seifert. She is only a sophomore, had 30 points. I mean, led that team. And she went basket for basket, three-pointers inside. And then she had the block to seal the victory at the end.
So cool.
She had a tremendous game just as a sophomore. Her athleticism is incredible. Great soccer player as well. Somebody told me she plays softball too. Was a really good softball player. Three-sport athlete. Had a great game. Elida girls now moving on to the regionals. And it was on the back of Lily.
Yeah. My Stolle superstar is Maddox Underwood from Upperside Valley. They were down with about 3 minutes to go. They were down to Temple Christian. Temple Christian played him really tight. Maddox Underwood just took that game over. He's a really special player. He may be even better at football than he is at basketball. He's just a really, really good athlete. And my team of the week is the district champion Columbus Grove girls, man. On to regionals. They're really good, guys. If you haven't got a chance to see them play.
And it's going to continue right after Akmuda graduates.
Yeah. They've got a freshman, Aubrey Schroeder, that's just fantastic. And they've got size. They've got guards. They're going to be good next year. So, yeah, Coach Brian Schrader, he's got nothing
to
worry about.
Play.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all three of our Stolle Sensational Teams of the Week were local area girls basketball players.
Yeah,
or
I
basketball
know, right?
teams.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so we spent a lot of time talking about the boys' district and the boys' team and all the good things happening there. But if you got time, you need to get out to the girls' tournament games because we have some phenomenal teams playing right now on the girls' side of things.
Yeah. Who would have thought Elida would have won the district title, right?
I know.
That's unbelievable. I mean, not the greatest season in the world, but they're going to regionals, man.
Pretty
look,
cool.
You get to regionals. That's a big deal. The districts is big, don't get me wrong, but you get to regionals, that's where you start measuring the hoop, right, Miles? All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about Ohio State. They hired a new defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia. Good hire, bad? I have some mixed emotions about this, Miles.
Why?
I do.
Is it the beard? Is it the beard?
It might be the beard. The beard scares me. Ooh, scary beard. Yeah.
Pencil Patricia. I love it. Yeah. I think it's an absolute great hire because we talked a couple weeks ago about having someone with cachet that's going to go in and have the ability to control that defensive coordinator room with the rest of the coaches that are in there. You're bringing in someone that is maybe on his way up. He's looking at a lot of experience, a lot of guys with rings that say national title on them, and they're looking at why are we listening at you, right? Well, Matt Patricia is one of the few guys on the planet that goes in there now, and they're looking at, wow, this guy's won 3 Super Bowls. He's been a head coach in the NFL. This guy knows what he's talking about. And I think what's going to happen there is if you watch modern college football, nobody's just one thing on defense anymore. Nobody's just rushing 4 guys. Right. Nobody's just playing 3 down. You're a multiple team. And what did Matt Patricia do with New England? They were multiple, right? You're going to have guys doing all kinds of things. They're going to be flexible position-wise. I think this is a great move for the Buckeyes to modernize, if you will. I mean, we won last year with a great defense, but that was a lot of old talent, right? And we did one thing. We're going to have 4 guys down, and they were going to get A, B, C, and we're going to get upfield. I think with Matt Patricia, he's going to move a lot of pieces around. I think it's a great hire.
So I think it's a good hire. I do. I do have some concerns. My biggest reservation is you're bringing a guy in, and what's the one thing that has always kind of been the issue when you've had NFL guys come in to high profile? They don't like to recruit, and they don't know how to treat college athletes because they treat college athletes like they treat professionals.
Right.
And whether college athletes they say that's what they want, but they don't. And we live in an era right now where if you know you get upset, you can just jump in the portal and go wherever.
And they do.
You know, I don't know what Matt Patricia brings to the recruiting trail. Obviously, it's nice to be able to put on Super Bowl rings and go sit in a living room and talk to a kid and say, I can help you get these, right?
Like, that's what you want.
Right. Like, that's what you want. However, recruiting is a grind.
Yeah,
it is a grind. It is what drives. Look at what Chip Kelly. It drives guys out. You know,
Justin Fry didn't want to recruit.
Are we doing? Is this going? My concern is this what we're going to start seeing from Ohio State? Where it's, hey, we're going to go get a guy who is like, I need to rebuild my image. He comes in a year or two, and then he moves in because he doesn't really want to be a college coach, but no, he needs something, and then he's going to go back to the league.
In 2 or 3 years. And what you're going to do is you're going to put a lot of stress on McGarry and Tim Walton because they're going to be the primary recruiters, and they're going to have to go out and tell kids. Yeah, right. And they're going to have to go out and tell kids. And you don't think that's not going to bother Guerrero and Walton and Laurinaitis that they've got to jump on a jet 3 times a week to go to the West Coast, to go to the East Coast?
Let me remind you, though. Judas Knowles, he did not recruit.
Right, and there was always animosity. Right. There was always – look, Matt Patricia, I know he knows his things, but I just – every time I hear Matt Patricia, I'm like, I am Matt Patricia. I am a motivational speaker. That's what he reminds me of, you know?
It's like,
I live down by the river. I'm here to help you.
Listen, yeah. At the end of the day, I think my hope with this whole thing is that there's been some very honest conversations where it is, hey – we don't think Laurinaitis is ready yet. We don't think
whoever the next guy is
just not ready. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring this guy in. Yes, he's never been a college guy, but look at all the NFL success. He knows how to coach a defense. He's a defensive guy. We're going to bring him in. You guys are going to do this in conjunction. We're going to get you. We're going to show you there's some sort of succession plan put into place.
Sometimes.
Because if not, then we're just going to have this revolving door that sometimes could work out great, sometimes can't. I still am kind of concerned with how this whole Jim Knowles thing went and how some things have happened within that program. How Ryan Day handles his coaching staff and whether or not this is going to be good or a bad thing for the program long term.
Can I point out one other great thing about this? Our first game against Texas, right? They don't know what we're going to do defensively.
No, they do not. You are right.
But sometimes don't you think that guys that don't get their feet muddy in college football think they have a little bit of an advantage? I remember Charlie Weiss making the comment, we have a schematic edge when he went to Notre Dame, and he just got housed.
Well, he was just awful. Not the first year. Then they figured it out.
Yeah, right. He was just awful. And look, nobody wants Matt Patricia to succeed more than I do. I mean, he's my guy. But
are
I really
sure? You kind of talk about Matt Patricia like he might be your Will Howard.
Whoa! Way to flip the script.
Did you see that look in his eye?
I will say this. Quantify. Will Howard throws a better ball.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. All right.
Guys, they've shut down the spring game. There's no football game being played on April 12th. They're going to bring the players out. They're going to sign some autographs. They're going to do some little gimmicky games, but no game. It's the way of the world. Your thought?
What is the spring showcase? What is it?
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen this till you put this on the show sheet. I don't know how I missed this. What is this about?
This is the new future of college football in the spring.
What was the rationale? What'd they say?
Well, what they're saying and what they're doing are two different things. Look, if Rykert Ford is paying three guys $50,000 a year to be Rykert Ford guys, and Rykert Ford says, I can't have him represent me. If he gets hurt in the spring game, this ain't happening. It's money. It's absolutely money. They'll say no. They'll say we're just trying to keep our athletes safe. But it makes no sense. You've been playing the spring game for 100 years. Yeah.
Or Nate, I'm the third string tight end.
Yeah.
And I score 2 touchdowns in the spring game. Hey, look at my value. Yeah. Maybe I get in the portal.
I'm transferring to me.
I like that one a little bit. Yeah. It's a showcase for me as a third stringer to try to put something on tape
that lets me
more valuable to another team. Yeah, I do like that.
Danny and I were talking on the radio. Joe Royer, who was a backup tight end 3 years ago, I'm blowing his phone up watching a spring game. This guy's going to be a monster. Oh, my gosh. He had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And what did he do? Like 6 catches in his career before he transferred to Cincinnati?
And he has a perm.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, really cool.
Really weird hair. Guys, last week the Buckeyes lose to Northwestern at home. Very, very embarrassing. Is it the worst loss in recent memory? And are you guys still on the Jake Diebler bandwagon?
Worst loss since Auburn earlier in the year.
but you look at Auburn. They're the number one team in the country. They're loaded with NBA players. We probably should have got beat like that. Northwestern lost 15 games this year, and they came into our place and destroyed us.
It was ridiculous.
71-50, 49, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It wasn't the over.
It was a financial situation.
My financial interest in that one definitely made me very angry. I don't know. There's, you know, we also have on here what's missing from this team, and it's
Michi Johnson.
Well, no, it's it's personality. This team is dry. There's nothing really that makes you like, I have to watch this.
Lots of introvert kids.
There's really nothing that makes me want to turn the TV on and get into these games.
Well, you don't like watching Mobley shoot 30-footers and then the announcer say, he was really close on that one.
That kid's a great shooter.
There's just nothing. There's just nothing about this team. Now, I will tell you that as far as
we love Colin White, Ottawa.
We do. We do. Play him.
I love that suburb.
We love Austin Park. suburb, right, I know, right? That's right.
But as far as Jake Diebler goes, he has to have more time. You can't jump off of that bandwagon yet. He hasn't even had a full recruiting cycle.
No.
You got to give him a little bit more time. Whether you're happy with what you're seeing right now or not, this guy took over a program in a very weird and awkward and uncomfortable way. They name him the guy. He then has to trying to put his stamp on it, you got to give him more time. It's his first gig. Nobody saw this coming. They were looking at all sorts of other guys for this Ohio State job.
Dusty and then May looks pretty good.
And then they just said,
Dusty May's got 2 7-footers.
He does.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, Jake, you finish the season well. And he's won some big games, fellas. He has. He, for some reason, is able to beat Purdue when nobody else seems to be able to do.
With Dusty May, they're not going to go far in the tournament. Here's why. They don't have good guards. Their guards are average.
They were pretty good last Sunday.
Yeah, but
Roddy Gale looked pretty good.
Yeah, their guards are average. Their bigs are really good, but you got to have good guards to go far in the tournament.
I don't know. Maybe every year we just fall for it, right? Every year we get our scarlet and gray glasses on and like, I like this team. We're going to be good. I love Jake Diebler. We're going to be good. And then every year we sit here and we're 15-12 or 15-13. And then maybe we're just never going to be.
Has it moved from January to February?
Yeah, maybe.
Guys, but here's the thing. You see, it can be done. Thad Mata did it for 15 years.
Long time ago.
I get it. When he left, everybody hated him running him out of town.
Right, but he was so good at what he did in recruiting and coaching, and we were winning Big Ten titles. We were going to Final Fours.
He's
going to
get fired from Butler this year.
Yeah, well, but that's because of his health. I mean, there's a lot that has to do with that.
So,
look, Miles, a lot of this.
I guess the point is I think the point that you're making, though, is that Ohio State can be a basketball school. It doesn't have to be just a football school. We've done it before. You just got to get the right guy.
Why will we sell out for football, but we will not sell out for basketball?
Because there's not enough money to go around.
I'm going to tell you exactly why. All because right. We have one donor for the basketball program, and that is affecting the program. And I'll tell you off the air because I can't tell you on the air.
Okay.
I will tell you there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes right now. Look, Bradshaw's been off the team twice this year for an illness and investigation. Austin Parks missed a couple games because of a family matter. Colin White had a foot injury. Michi Johnson quit the team. He just quit. And I'll tell you that story. He just quit.
Well, that was after he came back.
Yeah, this is after he came back. He quit. Look, there's not an NBA player on that roster. Okay, but he's got some really good players that are young. Devin Royal is a really good player.
I think Devin Royal
Colin White is a really good player. Junie Mobley, once he figures out where the weight room is, he's going to be a really good shooter. I think he's a really good shooter. They've got Sean Stewart does some good things. He does. He's limited offensively. We talk about that. But I'm with you, Nate. We got to give Jake Diebler more. We gave Chris Holtmann 7 years. We've got to give Jake Diebler.
Here's the thing with Jake Diebler, though. I think
7 years. It was, yeah. Felt like 14.
I think Jake only has one more year, though. That's the problem. Is I think that because of how we got the job and kind of because it was under this radar thing and all these things, I think this was his free year. If you don't see growth and you don't see if you don't see something next year that shows you, okay, we're going in the right direction, I think they'll pull the plug on Diebler quickly.
Yeah, can we please tell a national announcers to stop saying that the Ohio State is on the bubble for the NCAA.
It's NIT.
Somehow they are convinced that
they're
NIT. NIT.
Absolutely. NIT.
They get in.
He's just doing that.
No chance.
Who are they beating in the Big Ten tournament?
You guys want to bet? You guys want to put something on it?
You always want to bet.
No, it doesn't be money.
Ooh.
I'll shave my head if.
But can I add one more thing for what they need?
One more thing.
Somebody with some offensive half court sense to draw up an offense. What they can do.
What's
in the
identity? I 100% agree. They're running Holtman stuff.
It's unbelievable how bad they are in a half court set. It's so bad.
And did you see Chris Holtman's year this year at DePaul? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Have fun with that, Chicago. Hey, guys, another great episode of the Three Wise Men. Hey, what do you say we do it again next weekend?
You want to?
Yeah.
Show 26. Let's go.
You've been watching the Three Wise Men on WSN.